Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is the Grapevine, SaverLife.com, and a scorching, positively scorching day ahead, as it will be in the mid-90s in Rochester, 93, 94, who knows, but stay cool, stay in the shade, and take a siesta this afternoon, which is what they do in countries where it is exceptionally hot. Or at least it seems like a good excuse to me, because you don't want to be working at outdoors in your garden at 93, 94 degrees. The grapes aren't going to mind. The vineyard's looking great right now. And I just had someone email me, and they were wondering about where to find Sauvignon Blanc in the Finger Lakes. And this it's become far more widely available than it used to be. It's actually a lot of it grown in the Niagara Peninsula of Canada and has been for quite a few years. Slightly warmer there as it is on the U.S. side of the Niagara River. Places like Arrowhead Spring Vineyards and Chateau Niagara have a slightly warmer climate than the Finger Lakes, and Sauvignon Blanc seems to appreciate that. But they are growing more of it now in the Finger Lakes. And so if you are looking for a specific variety, you could email me. I actually have a database of, unfortunately, it's a spreadsheet. I mean, database makes it sound searchable and, more just fancier than it actually is. It's just a spreadsheet with the different varietals that the wineries make. But I can search that easily and find who's making a specific varietal or making a port style wine or sparkling wine. But there's another way that's kind of interesting, and that's the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance has a search function where you can look for specific varietals. You can also filter for a whole lot of other things like picnic friendly, pet friendly, bike friendly, weddings, wheelchair access, live music, good for kids, hard cider available, outdoor seating, which most wineries have expanded because of the opportunity to open a little bit earlier during the shutdown with outdoor seating. But you can choose all kinds of tags to search by. You can search specific lakes. The one of which is Hemlock Lake, which is going to be a very short search because there's only one winery in Hemlock Lake. And you can just search, as I did, for Sauvignon Blanc, and it brought up seven options from wineries who are members of the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance, and not all wineries are members, so this is not a global search of what's available in the Finger Lakes, but it's a good start, and the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance really was founded to promote wine in the wineries rather than tourism in general. So there are lots of tourism organizations in the region, and they are obviously promoting wine, but as part of a bigger package of history and natural beauty, and they do a great job of promoting the region as a destination. But again, they're looking at the big picture of tourism, which is crucial, and again, there are a bunch of organizations that are doing that. But the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance is really geared to promoting wine and especially reaching wine media, getting wine in more restaurants around the country, just a little bit more oriented toward the trade than certainly the tourism organizations. So it's a crucial organization. And you can find out more about it, FingerLakesWineAlliance.com. But the seven Sauvignon Blancs that came up include Billsboro Winery, Buttonwood Grove Winery, which, by the way, just hired Ian Berry as winemaker. He closed his tasting room in Burdett. He's just going to continue to make Berry Family Cellars wines, but decided not to continue the tasting room, which is a gorgeous building from the 1800s. And hopefully another interesting business, not necessarily a winery, but hopefully that will it would be a cool artist studio. But Burdett's a little bit challenging because it's not right on the main wine trail. It's actually on the road to Ithaca, and there are really no other wineries on that trail. Although that is Route 79, which goes through Burdett, it happens to be that Paul Hobbs and Johannes Selbach, their winery vineyards right now, is at the corner of 79 and 414, but Burdett is just off the main trail. It's up the hill. It's a cute little community, tiny community. Several really beautiful houses and this building where Berry Family Cellars was in. So Ian Berry is making wine for Buttonwood Grove, which also just purchased Toro Run. That's just up the road from them, both on Route 89 on Cayuga Lake. Toro Run had Sebastian Lesur from Domaine Lesur as their consulting winemaker. So now Ian Berry will be making the Toro Run wines along with Buttonwood Grove. And Buttonwood Grove won the Governor's Cup a couple of years ago. And soon after it had been purchased by a couple, and within a couple of years, I'm not sure who the winemaker was at that time at Buttonwood Grove, but they won the Governor's Cup for, I think it was semi-dry or dry Riesling. And it'll be fun to see what Ian Berry does. Again, Buttonwood Grove, Romulus Address, it's west side of Cayuga Lake. Also carrying Sauvignon Blanc, Dr. Constantine Frank, Fulkerson Winery, which is on Seneca Lake. Also Hosmer, and Hosmer is on Cayuga Lake, not that far from Buttonwood Grove and Toro Run. Rooster Hill also makes Sauvignon Blanc. They are on Cayuga Lake, the east side of Cayuga Lake. And Three Brothers Wineries, they also make a Sauvignon Blanc. And I texted this information to the person who requested it, and there are a couple other wineries that are not part of the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance that make a Sauvignon Blanc, including Hazlitt 1852. And I added, because I don't know what this person's level of knowledge of local wineries is, that a couple of these wineries, Hazlitt and Three Brothers in particular, are wineries that do a lot of sweeter wines or even very sweet wines. Of course, Hazlitt does Red Cat. And so they're known for those sweeter wines. Three Brothers has actually three wine brands in three different buildings at their property, including Warhorse Brewing and Cafe. They're a Geneva address, but east side of Seneca Lake. And both of these wineries, Hazlitt and Three Brothers, make really delicious dry wines. Three Brothers has scored 90 points or 91 points for their Rieslings, several of their Rieslings. And they have one of the most unique and one of my favorite marketing ideas for Riesling. They have the 4 degrees of Riesling. And they offer these in single-serving plastic bottles, which is also unusual in the Finger Lakes, as well as in standard bottles. And the 4 degrees of Riesling refer to the residual sugar. And so the four options are 0% residual sugar, or dry, 1%, which is sort of the border of dry to semi-dry, 2%, which would be definitely semi-dry, and 3% residual sugar, which really starts to become semi-sweet. So it's a great way to have a tasting with family or friends and have 4-foot bottles. And again, you can get the single serving ones too. Last time I was there, they had them. And you can explore 4 different levels of residual sugar in Riesling, really from, I think, from the same vineyard as far as I know. It's just that they didn't ferment them as long and left some sugar, gradually more sugar, depending on which one they're producing. And so the 3% residual sugar probably is much lower in alcohol than the completely dry Riesling. And so you have not only different levels of sugar, but also different levels of alcohol. So that's a really cool way to, I think, to market Riesling. It really highlights the adaptability of this grape to so many different styles of winemaking. It's really unusual in that way. I mean, how many other grapes can you think of that are world-class wines? You know, there are plenty of grapes are made into sweeter wines, but are not considered world-class wines. But Riesling, a semi-dry Riesling, certainly it can be very expensive. Germany is famous for these. Very sweet Rieslings also, and dessert wines, ice wines, late harvest made with Riesling can be very expensive, especially from Germany. And then you have completely dry Rieslings also. You can make a sparkling wine with it. I mean, there really are no other grape varieties that you can do this with, and it's broadly acknowledged that it is can be an exceptional wine in all of those categories. I guess you could argue Viognier can be used that way, but it's not. It doesn't have the notoriety of Riesling. I mean, when's the last time you saw a semi-sweet Chardonnay? They exist, but I don't think anyone acknowledges them as anything other than, you know, making a sweet wine for people like sweet wine. You don't see Pinot Noir done semi-dry. Again, it happens, but it's not considered a world-class wine. None of the semi-dry Pinot Noirs that I've heard of are, at least. And really, with the expense of vinifera grapes, you don't want to make a semi-dry Pinot Noir, because sweeter wines are almost, other than, again, a semi-dry Riesling, in general, semi-dry wines are not very expensive. And, you know, they appeal to someone who's looking for sweeter wines. Not the wine media, the wine judges, the sommeliers, tend to look at dry wines, but again, Riesling is one of the main exceptions. There are some, quite a few semi-dry Gewürztraminers, and I guess you could argue Gewürztraminer is made in quite a few different styles, but not like Riesling. And at least in the Finger Lakes, it's not, because it's harder to grow. It's more tender than many of the other grapes, and some wineries have pulled it out and decided not to make Gewürztraminer anymore, because if you only have a crop 3 times in 10 years, it's hard to make money. You're maintaining it those 7 other years, you're spending money on it, and you're not getting much of a crop because of the weather, cold snaps. and exceptionally cold winters. So Riesling really is incredibly diverse options. And Three Brothers Winery, I think, has one of my favorite marketing ideas with their 4 degrees of Riesling. So, again, and this happens with some of the big jug wine brands in California. I think, you know, some of them make some really, really good wine. They make Gallo is maybe the premier example of this. They make a lot of jug wine, a lot of cheap 1.5 liters, or at least they used to. I haven't gone looking for them. But they also have some outstanding premium wines. With wineries here like Hazlitt 1852 and Three Brothers Winery, you should go in search of their generally their drier wines, some really outstanding wines at both wineries. So, and if you're looking for a specific varietal, this is a cool way to find more examples and maybe discover wineries you'd never heard of, never visited. Maybe you hadn't heard of Buttonwood Grove, or you've never been to Rooster Hill, or maybe, you know, you don't spend much time on Cayuga Lake, so you don't know about Hosmer. Or you just didn't realize a well-known winery like Dr. Frank produces Sauvignon Blanc. You think of them as Riesling and Chardonnay and Lemberger and Arcazzatelli, but they're one of many wineries that make a lot of different varietals. And in fact, when Dr. Constantine Frank founded the winery back in the 1950s is when he started planting grapes. The first vintage for Dr. Frank was 1962. And at that point, he was planting lots of different varietals. He was basically building an experiment station like he had in Ukraine. And when Willie Frank took over the winery many years later, Willie really wanted to focus on specific grape varietals. And I think Dr. Frank had something like 60 or 70 different varietals in the vineyards, which is, I mean, no one has that many. Even wineries that grow juice grapes and, you know, Fulkerson has a lot of different varieties. I don't think they have 60 or 70 of them. And with Dr. Frank, those were all vinifera. So obviously he had some obscure ones, because I challenge you to come up with 60 or 70 vinifera grape names. Good luck with that. I can come up with maybe 20. Maybe I can get close to 30. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with some of the more obscure grapes from Europe, like Italy and Portugal and Spain and France, but there are lots of them. And Dr. Frank had, if he didn't have all of them, he had a lot, and many of them from Eastern Europe, where he was from Ukraine, grapes like Arcazzatelli and Saporavi. But Willie Frank wanted to concentrate and in many ways just more of a business person than Dr. Frank was, who was a scientist, been a researcher all his life, and the research that he did here was crucial to the region. Willie Frank decided to take out many of those varieties. I don't know how many he left in since then, and he passed away quite a few years ago. The winery has added some new varieties, I think, or added them back, I guess, and slowly started to expand them. But it's highly unlikely they're going to get to 60 or 70 of these in the near future. So Again, Sauvignon Blanc, one of the ones that they offer at Dr. Constantine Frank. So let me know if you're looking for specific varieties. I'll see if I can help. And check out Finger Lakes Wine Alliance, just maybe to check out who the members are and the kinds of things that they're doing. And again, a crucial organization here in our area to help promote the wine industry with more focus than the tourism agencies do. A couple of weeks ago, I got an email from one of our listeners about my leaving the radio station and moving to online only through my website. I will be working on the podcast parts of this, but I can't resist reading this email, which I really appreciate it, and I've gotten lots of emails from listeners with comments, but this one really struck me because this is why I started the radio shows and why I've been doing them for 26 years and now continuing online. He says, I was disappointed not to hear you this weekend on the radio. A friend just told me you won't be on. I've been a faithful listener for about 8 years, every Saturday and Sunday. I don't drink wine, don't garden, but your show always was interesting and informative. I brought wines to get-togethers on your recommendation. Every restaurant I go in, I count how many New York wines are on the wine list. I really appreciate that. And he says, I've introduced Dr. Frank's story and wine to a couple dozen people. I went to the Aurora Inn, had grape pie, went to Anthony Road Winery, all from listening to your show. We live on an acre of land, half of which is now completely overgrown and wild because of your show. Herd orchards, the birdhouse, the list goes on and on. You talked about so many places and events I probably would have never heard of, let alone attended, through the years. Just want to say what a great and informative program it was, and I'll be listening to the podcast just as religiously as your show. Good luck, and thanks for everything you put out there. Couldn't resist reading that to my family. Again, it was really encapsulated what my mission in doing the show is to highlight what an amazing region we live in and all the different things that are you may not hear about because they don't advertise in traditional media. Many of them are such small businesses, they don't really advertise at all. And yet you can find out about them here on the show. So again, I really appreciate all the emails and just votes of confidence, I guess, and doing the shows, some from listeners who just discovered the radio shows, some from longtime listeners like Anthony, several from listeners who've had for pretty much since the beginning. There were a couple of people that had been on tours, garden tours that I did to the Philadelphia Flower Show, and I also used to do little mini tours at Kepler's Gardens back in early 1990s, and they became listeners, and that was 26 years ago. Remarkable. And of course, I'm constantly humbled by Doc and Katie Abraham, who are on the radio for 52 years. I'm only halfway there. So I aspire to reach that level. Another 26 years, certainly doable. And also, yesterday I was talking about 10best.com. This is something you've heard me talk about if you've listened in the past. Annually, they seem to do these wine-related online polls at 10best.com. They do tons of different polls, from best waterfront hotel to best, best tiki bar. I mean, all kinds of things. But again, about once a year, they do wine-related online polls. The polls are up for about a month, and they just launched these a week ago or so. And the Finger Lakes has done incredibly well on these polls. One of the four that has Finger Lakes nominees right now is Best Wine Region in the United States. And the way these online polls work is they nominate their writers at USA Today, nominate 20 places or regions or businesses, in this case regions, around the United States. Some of them you might have heard of, like Napa and Sonoma. Some like Texas Hill Country, maybe you haven't. But Finger Lakes has won this several years in a row. And right now, we are at number one again. And Texas Hill Country was number two. Walla Walla Valley in Washington has surpassed Texas Hill Country to move into second place. And Monticello in Virginia is fourth. Temecula Valley in California is fifth. Sonoma is sixth currently. So if you just vote once here, that helps the Finger Lakes. But if you vote every day, and you can vote every day, that's, they tell people that. It's not a secret. It's not, you know, but you can only vote once per day. If you vote every day, just like when you get up in the morning, bring up the tabs. I leave the tabs up. It takes literally 2 seconds to vote. And if we do that every day, the Finger Lakes will probably win again. And it's free publicity. The USA Today writes about the winners. Everyone that visits this leaderboard over the next month sees the Finger Lakes in first place. A lot of these wine regions are probably frustrated that the Finger Lakes has won this a couple years in a row. And it gives us credibility, I think, that our fans are passionate. Because very few people, I think, look at this online poll and say, well, the Finger Lakes is the best wine region in the United States. That's, like arguing who the best baseball player in history was. But even more difficult, I mean, on what basis is the Finger Lakes the best? Do we have the highest scores? Do we have the most expensive wines? Do we have the most wineries? Do we have the most investment? No. So, again, it's the passion of the fans. And hopefully we can get number one again. This year there's a new category, at least one I haven't seen in recent years, and that is Best Wine Tour Company. And one from Ithaca is in second place. They were number three, and they moved up to second place. Experience the Finger Lakes. Laura Winter-Falk, who does lots of great wine education in Ithaca, and these tours, she is in second place. Let's get her into first place by, again, voting each day in that category and letting friends and family know that they can vote every day. And they don't have to live in the Finger Lakes to vote for the Finger Lakes every day. And during this pandemic, there's a lot of disheartening, discouraging, maddening, insane news right now, just to the point that at least I've got to shut it out for periods of time. It's too disturbing to see the to know what this country needs to do to defeat the coronavirus, and to see governors and leaders who are not doing it. Luckily, New York is, but a lot of other states aren't. So this online poll that you can vote every day feels positive in a really tiny way, but it's helpful to me. The third category is Best Winery Restaurant, and FLX Table has won this before, though right now they're in 13th place, so I'd love to get them in the top 10 at least. And the Finger Lakes Wine Festival for Best Wine Festival is ranked 5. They were ranked 4 yesterday, so they need some help to stay in the top five and to maybe win this category. So there are four of them. If you want me to email you information, I'm happy to do that. You can also go to 10best.com and look up best wine region to start with. And there are some pop-ups that come up, which are pretty easy to delete. And they don't. I've been voting on this for quite a few years, and I don't seem to. You don't have to enter your email address. You don't have to do any of that. You can just vote. And it doesn't seem to lead to any more spam than I had before or anything. That it's been pretty easy to use. I mean, it's USA Today is behind it. 10best.com. Check these out. And one other note, Governor Cuomo announced a couple days ago that places, bars in particular, that serve alcohol, the patrons must purchase food as if they want to buy alcohol. And this also applies to wineries and breweries and distilleries, their tasting rooms where people are buying alcohol and tastings, and they have to purchase food. And this is, instead of shutting down bars, which other states are doing, as frustrating as this is, and especially for bar owners, it's better than being shut down, and it's our governor trying to keep New York State reopening and at a very low infection rate. So when you visit breweries, distilleries, wineries, you'll run into this. So just as an alert and kind of why they're doing it. Email me with comments, questions, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back next Saturday with Gardening Restaurants Discover the Finger Lakes here no longer on WYSL 1040, only here online at saverlife.com. Have a great day.